The thing about the Lord's Prayer, oh, I know that prayer. I say it every day. And it can just become, well, the Lord's Prayer. But we lose something of its amazing structure and beauty. So let me talk about its structure in two ways. We just heard the Lord's Prayer from Matthew's Gospel. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. And interestingly, if you were to look at the sermon in its entirety, the Lord's Prayer comes right at the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. So in other words, Matthew uses this prayer to help us understand that it is the hinge that helps us to understand the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, when you come to the prayer itself, it has 7 petitions. The first 3 are all to do with God. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed, the second petition. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, the third petition. And then we have the 4th petition, which then leads way to petitions 5, 6, and 7. 5 has to do with forgiveness. 6 has to do with lead us not into temptation, and 7 has to do with deliver us from evil. Well, what does 4 then have to do with? And maybe it's a key to the whole thing. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I was thinking about this before and thought, that is a redundant statement. Why does Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread? Why doesn't he just say, give us our daily bread, or give us this day our bread? Why does he say, give us this day our daily bread? Because daily is actually not a very good translation of the original Greek word. The word for daily in Greek is this word, epiousios. Epiousios. And what is cool about this word epiousios, it's not found anywhere else in Greek literature before the New Testament. In other words, it's made up. It's made up for the Lord's Prayer. So let me tell you what the word epi means. Epi means above. Ousios means nature or substance. So the word epiousios means above nature, above substance, or what it can mean is this. Give us our super substantial bread. Give us that bread that we need every day. Now, what you need to appreciate is the following. Jesus had in mind, as did Matthew, that what Jesus is talking about here is the new manna. What was the manna that the Jewish people had in the Old Testament? Well, first of all, it was supernatural. It came from heaven. And actually, the word manna in Hebrew means, what is that? In other words, the people didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it before. So it came from heaven. The people said, we're not sure what this is. But here's the other thing about the manna. It was only to be eaten by the Jewish people during their journey through the wilderness until they got to the promised land. And when they got to the promised land, as we read in Joshua chapter 5, the manna came to an end. One other thing about the manna, it tasted like honey. Why did it taste like honey? Because the land that they were going to was going to be a land that would be flowing with milk and honey. So the manna in the desert was a foretaste of the land of promise that they would go into. And so now Jesus says, give us this day our super substantial, our supernatural bread. What's he referring to? To the Eucharist. Because we understand that the Eucharist is our bread for the journey while we are in the wilderness of this world. Will we need the Eucharist in heaven? No, we will not. Because in heaven, we will be in the promised land, and there, this food will no longer be needed. But for those of us who are on the journey, our Lord Jesus understands that the very center of our life, as is true at the center of the Lord's Prayer, is this petition. Give us this day our epiousios, bread. This bread that will truly sustain us. And as we come to that understanding of the Eucharist being the center of our life, what will that lead to? A much greater awareness of our Father who is in heaven. A much greater awareness that in how we live our lives, in the way we relate to one another, we will hallow his name. And we will be those kind of people who want to bring into effect as we can his kingdom here on earth as it is being done in heaven. Look at the saints of the 2,000-year history of the church. Those saints who had the greatest understanding of the centrality of the Eucharist were those saints who were able to make the most difference in this world. And indeed, it then leads to our learning to forgive because we know that we've been forgiven. Are recognizing that in a world like this, there will be times of testing. But God, please protect us in those times of testing and ultimately deliver us from the evil one. The church says that the Mass is the source and summit of our life as Roman Catholic Christians. So here you are, Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., doing the very thing that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. Knowing that I need this bread, I need this supernatural bread, I need the bread that will sustain me on this earthly pilgrimage so that one day we will enter into that promised land where the Eucharist will be put away because we'll see Jesus and we will be with him forever and we will no longer need the bread for the journey as we there celebrate the great marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will join with all of those who have gone before us in that wonderful food that's better than the sweetest honey.